Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, Paco, does flying scare you?
I'm not sure I want to fly anymore. I think I might just walk.
Hi, I'm George Chen.
And I'm Paco Romain.
Welcome to SubDoc, the show where we talk to interesting people about their favorite documentaries. In this episode, we talk with podcaster and online personality Veronica Belmont about the 2014 Al Jazeera investigative doc, Broken Dreams, the Boeing 787.
Veronica Belmont, thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Welcome to SupDoc.
Best name for a podcast ever about documentaries, by the way. It's like the perfect amount of pun. Yeah, I like it.
We have some people who are like, is it about dinner? Because it says sup. Sup.
No.
Remember that woman in line? In line to see that documentary.
Yeah. It's the Wolfpack. That's the only time we've actually gone to a movie together in the theater.
Yeah. We were in line and this woman saw our badges, our press. We were press that night. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what is that? And we're like, that's our podcast. She's like, oh, is it about dinner?
Did it take you a minute? Were you like trying to figure out why that could be about dinner? And then did you figure out that sup was like short for supper?
It didn't. No, I think I kind of was like, I no. Yeah. I kind of knew what she was going after because mm-hmm. I think she elaborated a little bit more.
But she wasn't trying to be funny.
No.
She actually just thought that.
She thought it was about supper.
And yeah. She didn't think that you were in line to see a documentary?
Right.
Not really. About food?
No.
Didn't really come together. Yeah.
Well, when people see me, they're like, everything in his life revolves around food, I think.
Yeah.
I think this guy...
That's a good way to live, though.
It's a really good...
Especially in this city.
Oh, yeah. Give me a sandwich.
Yeah.
Let's
do a show about sandwiches.
Okay. Mm. Spinoff.
Yeah.
Sup? Which
yeah,
sandwich.
Witches of East.
That's a half. The special, the half sandwich soup. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us, even though you haven't seen the Wolf Pack.
No,
that's fine.
I'll put that on the list.
However, you have seen Al Jazeera's Broken Dreams.
Yes.
She's laughing. She's losing it.
Yeah.
Well, when we asked you to do the show, and I was like, "What's a documentary?" And you're like, "How about this?" And then, here we are.
And here we are. And I feel a little bit bad because I feel like I kind of pulled a fast one on you guys because you said pick a documentary, one that you've seen. And I was like, oh man, I don't watch a ton of documentaries because I play too many.
Well, that's been our show. Thank you so much, yeah. Veronica Belmont.
And I was like, oh, I got to pick a good one. And it felt like pressure. Like it felt like a little bit of pressure, to pick a good one that'd be important to talk about. And you know, I like airplanes. I fly a lot. I travel a lot. I was really kind of very interested about the story of the 787, the Dreamliner, the Boeing Dreamliner,
right?
Because I love planes and I think about planes a lot. This
Jets
is real.
To Brazil.
There we go.
Oh yeah.
No, I just I find planes. I mean, when you fly a couple times a month,
yes.
You are like, this is a machine that is flying through the air at a tremendous speed, and somehow I'm still alive. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a fucking marvel of science.
Yeah.
It's like unbelievable. And the Dreamliner, you know, there's not a lot of new planes that come out. And the Dreamliner had gone through all sorts of dramas. I mean, I'm sure as you remember from the documentary, it took a really long time for them to actually launch the thing. And then they launch it and there's this series of catastrophic lithium ion battery failures.
Yes.
And that's anyone who works in technology like I do, we know the dangers of fucking lithium ion batteries. They explode in people's pockets and hurt people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of putting a massive one on an airplane, it sets off the warning bells in your
yes.
mind.
Yeah.
Maybe
a Liam
not
Neeson
a good idea.
Movie.
Yeah.
Almost. Like there's a lithium ion battery
took
on this plane.
In the air.
Yeah.
Great Irish accent.
Thanks. Irish.
But, yeah, so they explain that a little bit in the tech world. Was that mm-hmm. the stuff that was exploding in the iPhones? Were those lithium ion batteries?
Yes. I mean, they have a tendency to kind of expand out of their casings. It happened to me actually with an HTC phone a few years ago, actually almost 8 years ago at this point, probably. And it happens every so often, certain gadgets, especially if they're, you know, rechargeable lithium ion batteries, they just kind of start expanding. Sometimes they explode. Sometimes they catch on fire. We're seeing some of this now with the hoverboards.
Oh, that's why that's happening. Those are lithium ion batteries.
Yeah.
So they're recharging. They're basically You don't see that. You don't ever take the battery out, but when you're recharging it, when you plug it in, that's a lithium ion battery.
Yeah.
You were saying something about Tesla, actually.
Yeah, Tesla were using the
they
same.
They were, and there were some issues. Yeah. And go ahead.
Their refueling stations were blowing up.
Were they?
They were because of the lithium ion batteries in the cars. Well, so I was telling George, I did a series of, because I do voiceover work, so I did a series of...
We should talk about that. I've done some as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's
you should
talk.
Find me jobs.
I should find you jobs. Find you jobs. But I did a series of industrials for Tesla about their refueling stations that they were putting every 300 miles.
The superchargers.
The superchargers from San Francisco to New York so that you could drive cross country with their Teslas. Unfortunately, they were burning down. They were all burning. All their test ones were burning.
Really?
Yeah, and it was a big hush thing. Mm-hmm. But they still had me recording these voiceovers because they were doing the auto show in Detroit. Mm. About a week before the auto show in Detroit, they just were experiencing lots of fires at these refueling stations. And they scrapped the entire, all the work. I did like, I don't know, 5 hours, 5 to 6 hours a day for a week.
They still paid you though, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. No, they have money. Tesla thankfully still has money, but that was a problem they were having with their cars.
Yeah, the cars, the battery's loaded on the bottom, and so it's kept in a sealed like underneath undercarriage beneath the chassis. And so when there were a few issues, so what happened was if they're in an accident or if they're punctured somehow, then they have the potential to explode because it's a chemical fire, basically, as we saw from the Dreamliner documentary as well. But the shielding now is much, much better. And that issue has gone away in the cars for the most part, as far as I know. We haven't seen that in a really long time now.
And I was saying, George and I were talking about before the taping, I was like, that's the difference between a good company like Tesla and a shitty company, apparently, like Boeing, that was like, you know what? Fuck it.
Oh, well. I guess let's put this metal box around it and make sure that's definitely going to save it.
Well, we're going to make money, right? Yeah. So let's just do it.
That was interesting. I think the thing I did not know about Boeing as a company, and probably just because this all happened a little bit before my time of being interested in this kind of thing, was the merger.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that they had merged with that other manufacturer.
McDonnell Douglas.
And that then in turn caused that big dramatic shift in the quality and, you know, really putting their stock price valued higher than the actual quality of the airplanes that are keeping people in the air.
Yeah.
So that's scary. That sucks.
It is scary. So you were saying earlier you fly a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, and you fly a couple times a month.
Yeah.
To New York or elsewhere.
All over the place.
All over the
LA,
world.
Seattle, Louisville, randomly.
And so now you've seen this documentary, but are you going to look into what kind of airplane it is next time?
This
is
something
going to affect that?
Yeah, I've been on the Dreamliner a few times, I'm always excited when I am because it's a beautiful plane and they're very spacious and they feel new and comfortable. And especially after the Continental merger, you tend to get some of those old, like, you know, 30-year-old Continental planes, United planes.
Yeah.
I actually had we were flying to Hawaii for vacation a couple months ago, and there was a teenage girl in front of me, and we were on an old 747, and this girl in front of me, like probably 10, 11 years old, goes, "God, this plane is like from the 80s. And I was like, first of all, you weren't born then, bitch. And second of all, like, the planes are old.
Yeah.
I mean, they you can feel
when
the
you
age.
Feel the draft coming in from the windows.
Yes.
I've been on some planes where it gets drafty by the window.
Have you ever been rained on in a plane?
Yeah.
No.
That's the weirdest thing, the condensation.
Because I used to fly Continental and United all the time.
Yeah.
So I've been rained on. Mm-hmm. I felt the draft. I've had to help start the plane before on the tarmac.
Yeah.
Just to get it to go.
No, you didn't.
No, I did not. You're right. I did not. But
Richard Branson doesn't have a Dreamliner for Virgin yet.
Virgin? No, I don't think they do. No.
Air Nippon, I guess, got them. Okay, so today is Boeing... got the contract to do Air Force One. I don't know.
Oh, good.
Which is
well, that makes sense
brought
based
up in
on
the video.
That there's a very close relationship between the administration, the FAA, and former Boeing executives.
Yeah. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, so I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head.
Oh, Amir.
President Obama.
Oh, well, yes. Thank you, yes.
No, the other guy. Looking it up real fast, yeah.
But he was the he was on the FAA. Mm-hmm. He was part of the FAA, and he was in charge of getting the Dreamliner pushed through, basically, to make sure that it met all of its safety requirements.
Yeah. Ali Bahrami.
Thank
is his
you.
Name, yeah.
And he then later, after he retired from Boeing, when he retired from the FAA, became part of the Boeing board. Is that it?
Or
he,
lobbyist.
Lobbyist for Boeing or yes. lobbyist? Well, I want to make sure we get this fact right.
No, he was a lobbyist for Boeing.
And it's just, it's all very, you know, handshaky, back clappy, right. mm-hmm. like, you right. know, you just.
Well, he was the one that had also gave a speech in front of Congress asking for more self-regulations.
Self-regulation. Right. That's right. That's yeah, self-regulating.
Within the airline
which
industry.
Clearly Boeing is already apparently just yeah. doing on their mm-hmm. own. Like, yeah. they just, nobody gives a fuck, that's like, the, what they do.
Let's lessen the amount of regulations for air. Yeah. It doesn't make any fucking sense. It never makes any sense to me when, like, when you're talking. But then again, like, let's just throw in the Flint water crisis for a second.
Yeah.
You know, when
yeah.
you have, like, state officials or federal officials, unelected in this case, but mm-hmm. in the Michigan, obviously not, who are just like, we want to save, you know, a couple $100. So let's just, like, take things out. They're going to make sure that people aren't poisoned.
It all feels like nobody's looking forward. Like, everybody's so concerned with the bottom line that year for that tax year or that, you know, getting their bonus that year that yeah. no one really thinks about what the long-term repercussions of anything are going to be, because they probably won't be around when shit hits the fan. So what do they care?
Right. And as we've seen, no one gets arrested for anything. If you're an elected official and you create banking problems or poisoned water or self-regulating airline industries, no one's going to go to
like
jail.
Like one guy from the Wall Street crisis went to jail for like a couple days,
days.
Like a week or something, yeah. and then he's out. Mm-hmm. And like nothing changes. No. So yeah, that this documentary felt very much like that.
Yeah, like The Big Short or something for planes. I mean, it's not as a comedy or anything, or has really much of a narrative. There is that one character who's really interesting that I kind of wanted to hear more about. I think his name is Jim Woods.
Oh yeah.
Or John Woods. And he's like, has ADD, OCD,
depression,
mild depression.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who wrote all the instructions for how you deal with faulty parts. And he was fired from the South Carolina, the South Carolina plant. That was the other thing, too. After the merger, there's this new South Carolina plant, because we all think of Boeing as being like a Washington company. Mm-hmm. And they still had their, and it became a thing where some people were like, they would trust a plane that came from Washington, but not a plane that came from South Carolina.
Yeah.
And you have to like look at the whole history.
It's like,
history
don't buy a car from a Monday.
And how would
right?
we know that?
Yeah.
We don't know where they come from.
Were you surprised about hearing that they had moved to South Carolina?
No, because I feel like a lot of companies do things like that. They build new plants in places where they can save a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at least in some ways, they stayed in the United States. I mean, they're still outsourcing a lot of parts from foreign manufacturing firms, mm-hmm. like we saw with the company in Italy.
That's right.
That was building the bodies.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting.
That was interesting. And yeah, but I mean, I guess at least their plant is hiring, you know, American workers in a way. But clearly, they don't even want to fly in the planes.
No.
So that's terrifying.
And they, well, yeah. so we'll have to like.
Oh, yeah, explain that.
I guess we'll have to assume some people haven't seen this yet.
And never will.
Some people will.
If you want to be depressed as shit about flying on airplanes,
but,
watch this documentary.
So they have a guy who goes undercover
right.
into the South Carolina plant mm-hmm. with a hidden camera who talks to his fellow workers. He works there.
After this came out, how was the company not like figuring out who this guy is?
Yeah,
because they would have to do is like, so who was asking about whether or not you would fly?
Right.
We'll give you $100 if you tell us who asked you that question.
But they had some employees there were like, they'll just hire whoever. Like if they were just making,
I get coke, I get marijuana, yeah. I get like methamphetamine. Yeah. Like they're selling drugs in the plant, supposedly.
The people that actually work on it are the biggest problem. There is an uneducated, underskilled, and uncaring staff that are building these planes. And I'm not the only one that feels that way.
I've seen a lot of things that should not go on at an airplane plant. People talking about doing drugs, looking for drugs.
It's all coke and painkillers. And what's that like? You can get weed here. This is really good weed here.
Really? Like in the plant?
Yeah.
Like there's someone who has it right now. I could just walk up to them and just...
No, I don't know if they have it. You got to place your order.
You got to place your order, right?
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
John Woods, though, who was the engineer, and so he was also a whistleblower.
He's a whistleblower, yeah.
And what happened?
I mean, he just ended up living in Mississippi or Missouri. I think he's living in Mississippi, yeah. And he just seemed already incredibly depressed in the first place. Oh, and then he made a list of like seven things they were doing wrong, went to the higher-ups, went to the FAA, and that's when we met our friend Ollie, because basically only one of his accusations got like any kind of got addressed at all, and they're just like, yeah, we'll fix that. The other things are just like, nah, he's full of shit.
He's lying.
He's making stuff up. And this guy is like basically broke and like, you know, can't be hired anywhere else because he's kind of this one of these guys who's on the spectrum who's just good at like, I'm good at regulating things and making sure everything is exactly right. Like, you need some OCD people to do that shit.
And also, if you're basically gone on record as being a whistleblower, like, a lot of companies aren't going to be too happy about hiring someone like that because they don't want that to come bite them in the ass later.
No.
So it sucks. I mean, it sucks for him. He really clearly wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And you can't win in that situation because no one's on your side except the media, hopefully.
Well, and there's the woman, I forget her name, but she was the
engineer.
The engineer. Yeah. And wasn't she also part of the union of engineers? She was the president of the union of engineers or something?
That's right. And she didn't work directly on the Dreamliner. She worked on some of the other projects. But she had seen that documentation for the first time where basically Boeing was telling the international manufacturers to just, you know, continue making the stuff, the parts, even though they're not up to code, even though they're like doing a rush job basically, because they were so behind the timeline of getting the Dreamliner out at that point that they had no choice but to really just build shitty shit and get it on the plane and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
And are the seven, they are out now, right?
They are out. Yeah. They're flying. Yep.
Yeah.
And how many, do we know how many there are?
There's hundreds.
Oh, okay.
Well, they didn't, and I think in a report I read that was just came out this month, like they have none of them were turning profits before this year because they had sunk so much money into these things. Like the research and development for them was going back. That one part of the story that I remember like being really struck by was when they brought the first one out. And everyone's just like marveling at how beautiful it is.
It's a great scene.
And someone's like, I looked up the wheel well and I could see sunlight. Like there was, it was a, literally like a Trojan horse. It's like a hollow plane.
I like the guy who was like, the door was made out of wood. Like the door that they closed to like pressurize the cabin was made out of wood.
So here we go. The largest orders for the 787 as of December 2015. Nippon Airways has 83. I don't know the name. What is it? That second one? I don't know how to pronounce that.
Etihad? I don't know.
I don't know that company.
It's like Etihad Airways.
Etihad Airways has 71 and United has 53.
Wow.
I've definitely been.
I also
United.
Have to say, I think, Veronica, you beat some land speed record by looking that up. That took you like.
It auto completed for me.
Wow.
I said, how many 787? And then it said, are in service. And so I just clicked on that one.
Exploded.
Total, there's 1,142. That have been ordered, and total deliveries 363.
Crazy.
So there's a lot still being waited on.
I don't know if it's going to affect my decision. I got to say, like, if I'm on orbits and I see a 787 is $200 cheaper than a 747.
Well, you wouldn't.
They won't.
You'd
be
have
cheaper.
To be on United. You'd see that on on the airline.
Oh, right.
You probably would not see that unless you got went. So I book through United directly because I only fly United.
Fancy.
You and only fly United.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Is there a reason for that?
Because I'm a point whore.
Okay.
Oh yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I have a lot of points.
Right.
So I will see that. And now I kind of have that in the back of my mind. Like, is that a choice I'm going to make to fly a different time or to a different smaller airport or what, to not be on the 787? I don't know that I will. I don't know.
Let me ask you an airport question.
Okay.
Favorite airport.
Actually, SFO is post renovations. Mm-hmm. The United Terminal is pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Virgin area.
Yeah,
is nice.
I don't get over there very often. Right. But
you're
a
United person.
It's nice.
Which airport you hate the most?
Chicago.
Yeah, O'Hare is the worst.
Yeah, O'Hare is a living nightmare.
Yeah. Do you ever go like Minneapolis or Cleveland?
Yeah, I've done the Minneapolis one. That's the Twin Cities one, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that one's nice.
That is a nice airport.
They've got like rocking chairs and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's good. A lot of good restaurants.
You said you were just in Louisville.
Yeah.
Did you do the Cincinnati one?
No, I flew into Louisville.
Just go straight to Louisville. What were you doing there? Is it stuff you can talk about?
Yeah, it was a shoot for Travelers, actually, Travelers Insurance on safety, safe home, branded content.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Did anything happen to Boeing's brand when it was like going through all this shit?
That's a good question.
Well, I don't know that the average consumer thinks about Boeing as much as like, I guess it was more like within the business world or between all the airlines, their reputation. I mean, I think they used to be kind of considered almost like NASA or something like the standard of excellence
for
engineering.
The two big ones are Boeing and Airbus. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of in Canada Air to a smaller extent. But those are the two big behemoths of airline manufacturing, construction, and that kind of stuff. And Airbus, their big thing is the A380. That's their new big hotness that's out there.
How do you know that?
I told you, I'm an airplane nerd. That's why I wanted to do this show.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So the A380 is the big boy.
Oh, okay.
It's an amazing aircraft.
Why? What makes it an amazing?
It's just beautiful. Like a lot of them are double deckers. Virgin has the A380.
Okay.
Those
are cool. The double decker,
I think.
Are cool.
Yeah. So they're real comfortable to fly in. They do the big, like, you know, transatlantic hauls.
Right.
And they sometimes have the I think they have the six rows. I mean, so six rows of seating.
Right.
So 333.
Oof. That makes me just anxious just to hear that. I don't like to fly. Do you like to fly, Veronica?
I actually do.
Uh-huh. What do you prefer seat-wise? Aisle, middle?
Depends.
Okay.
So if it's going to be an overnighter, I like to be in the window.
Okay.
Because I can cuddle up. Yeah. Right. Get snugly up in there.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's going to be like a 4-hour thing, I'll tend to do like aisle.
Right.
Just because I like to be able to get out first.
Yeah,
go to the bathroom, not bug anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're always the aisle seat has to be the gracious one.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, well, okay, I'll get back up.
I prefer getting up than asking.
Yes, me too.
So
for years, I couldn't even ask. I would be on the window, but I could not ask anyone to move for me.
Would you wait till they get up?
Or just until I landed.
Oh,
if
man.
I had to go to the bathroom or anything, I couldn't get myself to actually do it, which made flying horrible for me.
Yeah.
Because I would get so much, I'd get so anxious. I'm an anxious person anyways, but flying. Do you like to fly, George?
I was doing a lot of it maybe like 5 years ago. I haven't done as much lately, but I can't really sleep on those things because you have no sense of time anymore.
Right.
If it's like they just shut the lights or whatever. And I was just starting to watch all the movies. When they got the ones where I went to England. I'm trying to remember what airline it was, but you know, when they got the video games and the movies in the back of the seats. I also feel like I'm in an area where I can watch every guilty pleasure movie that I normally would never pay for.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's like
really
fun
that.
To do.
Yeah.
I'm like, I watched, God, what was, this will date the story, but that trucker movie, it's like Steve Zahn's in it. It's like a horror movie about truckers. But I also saw some amazing movies on one of these flights. Like I saw.
She just threw you some shade about that.
I love, I will do all the rom-coms.
Oh, yeah.
Because my husband won't watch them with me ever. So I just watch them on airplanes by myself.
Right. Yeah. Just crying to your silently.
Just masturbating furiously.
Just masturbating on the plane.
To a rom-com? You masturbate to a rom-com?
Mile High Club 1.
Love
Party
factually.
Party of 1.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to set the dinger.
No, you don't want
to. Come to your seat.
Well, it depends on which dinger we're talking about, I guess.
That's right. No,
so
I get a lot of work
club.
Done on planes.
Oh, yeah.
That's my time to really buckle down. I try not to order Wi-Fi. I try to just
write and
like get shit done. And I like that quiet time. Yeah.
This plan that we were admiring was completely a shell inside.
None of this would be possible, of course, without exceptional leadership.
There's only two conclusions you can draw. You have executives there who are either lying, in which case they're clueless because they're going to get caught in 2 months, or you have a complete disconnect between the people who are working on the plane, the engineers, and the executives who are saying this.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Now, have you been following the Al Jazeera Network's rise and fall at all?
Yeah, it's really sad that they're closing up shop in the States.
Yeah. Because, like, also, like, with this doc, I guess, which came out in 2014, it's got, like, 2 million views. That's pretty good on YouTube.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
I feel like this is not a story that got picked up by the major networks at all.
I didn't hear about it at all.
Which is crazy.
Well, they talk about how Boeing has got on lockdown in Washington as far as, like who they control, how they control it, and like they're masters at the game.
This is the kind of thing we depend on like Vice for now, which is
terrible. Yeah,
I know,
why?
Which is scary.
Well,
but...
have you thought about working there? No,
oh, God.
I mean, like, yeah, that's one of the options.
In our very first episode, we talked about the Jinx documentary and about Robert Durst.
So good.
And we were talking about how it takes like HBO to solve crimes.
Yeah.
Or Netflix to solve a crime.
And it also takes Vice to make sure that we don't fly in crazy airplanes or like Al Jazeera. It's like the Daily Show gives us our news. You know, Vice tells us what not to buy and where not to get. You know, it's insane.
I know. Like, we can't depend on mainstream media.
No.
And Al Jazeera is like a pretty respectable. This is like basically it's almost like that. It's the format of like a 2020 or 60 Minutes, just like a hard hitting investigative journal. The music is very moody. I did like, it's a little emo.
It's a little,
it got a little
bit
like Bedhead or something.
It really did feel in terms of. I came away from it feeling like, okay, yes, I feel like I definitely learned something, but some of their methods were a little suspect to me.
Yeah.
Like, just from a journalism standpoint, like, just going, it was a little gotcha to, like, kind of nail the VP
towards the end.
The awkward meeting.
The project manager for the 787.
That poor bastard. Awkward. Like, I felt bad for him.
I did, too, even though, like, I know they were set up, like, to be the bad guys, but I was just like, yeah, of course he's not going to have an answer for you.
And he also, he wasn't around for it. No. He wasn't on that project.
Yeah. And he hadn't seen the documents.
He had no idea.
And then they did one of my favorite things they do in investigative journalism when they're shooting it. They do the ever so close push in on the subject's face, like, and you can see him just getting blotchier.
He was such
and
a deer in headlights.
He was
That
did not make me feel mad at Boeing. That made me feel bad for him. They made me feel sympathy for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there are still just people working at these companies too, like just trying to do their jobs. And it's like when it comes down for it's like VW. You know, like Volkswagen. Mm-hmm. Like, I am a diesel driver. Like, I was affected by that situation.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, I'm mad at them, obviously, and still trying to figure out, like, how I can somehow, you know, get paid for my car.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I know there's just regular people working there, and most of the people probably didn't know this was happening.
Yeah.
And so it just, it sucks when, like, the people in charge, like, screw everything up for the average people who are just trying to make a living.
That is true.
I mean, the same case with the whistleblower. That was, like, a big issue with it. Definitely it was like a gotcha moment. And then also this British journalist was like, everything sounds condescending from this guy. Yeah. Schedule? Were you on schedule?
It was the schedule over and over again.
Schedule versus quality.
I don't know if you're on schedule. And then, but then the Jim McNerney.
Larry Loftus is the guy's name, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That did the interview, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Jim McNerney was the CEO,
the
right?
The CEO who retires with $250,000 a month.
A month.
$250,000 a month.
A fucking month.
What and does that while guy they even
also,
do?
Yeah.
What do people like that even do?
I'm not sure.
Busted a union, apparently. Yeah. Except that's for what they're doing.
Move their like company to unions. A right-to-work state. Where yeah. they, and then they talk to the machinists who are like, he's trying to take away our $2,500 a month pension
yeah.
so that
yeah.
he can have his $250,000.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it makes me so sick. I hate CEOs.
Especially like since you're from Michigan and like you've seen like this
yeah.
this downhill. Yeah.
There's like 12 people industrial, left in Michigan.
Yeah.
Like nobody lives there anymore.
Did you see a documentary about Al Jazeera, the Control Room documentary
no,
from
I didn't.
2004?
No.
That's pretty interesting yeah. because it's about basically, so I guess they were like funded by like a family in Qatar or
yeah,
something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they are.
Who just have like unlimited resources. Or yes. apparently limited because they just shut down their American version. But it was also about like basically the relationship between the press rooms and journalists during like, you know, I guess they shot it all like the beginning of the Iraq War. So
yeah.
Wow.
But that's an interesting documentary about Al Jazeera. Maybe we should talk about that sometime. But
it's
no,
a really
it's
good
an interesting documentary. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it talks more about like the U.S. government war policies. Of,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you're a big gamer, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned that earlier. You're like, you watch more games than docs or
yeah,
what you're saying.
Yeah, than television.
What do you think about, like, I just saw something this morning that said there's now more adult women in gaming than men.
That's, yeah, a lot of those statistics come from casual games, okay. which, you know, a lot of different kinds of games can fall under that category, but primarily like cell phone
games.
iOS
yeah,
games,
right. yeah,
phone games
yeah.
which is true. Like a lot of women are playing, you know, iOS games, casual games. But I think the number of people, women playing, you know, console games, PC games is also definitely on the rise. I know tons of women who play.
Like single shooter types or?
Yeah. Yes. But I think definitely more in the massively multiplayer realm, like the Warcrafts,
okay.
games like that,
yeah.
Things like Hearthstone,
uh-huh.
Which isn't massively, but it's still like you can play with friends,
right.
Or just by yourself. I tend to play single player, like fantasy RPG type games.
Oh, you do?
Primarily.
Like what's your jam?
My jam right now is Fallout 4.
Okay.
Big time.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. Anything Bethesda puts out, I'm going to give them money for.
Right.
Pretty much.
Twitcher.
The Witcher? Yeah.
Witcher?
Yeah.
Is that something?
The Witcher 3. Yeah,
Witcher 3.
I played about 90 hours of that, yeah.
I just bought a PS4
oh, cool.
last week.
Mm-hmm.
I usually only play Madden and then one other thing, like Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But like, so I put on...
Oh, you're a bros bro.
Yeah, I'm a bros bro.
Bros bro.
I put on Facebook, like, what should I buy? And everyone's like, Witcher 3, Fallout, and there's some other ones I've heard about lately, but I just like, I don't know if I'm going to get
They're
those.
Super fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I play on PC pretty exclusively.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I the lot of... Fallout's going to happen when I leave here today, uh-huh. basically. It's Sunday.
I mean, that's just very, like, Gamergate.
Ugh,
oh, yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff is really... It's interesting, but it just seems slightly horrifying as well.
Yeah, we keep hoping it goes away. It just hasn't really gone away.
Just
still,
like general
still a thing.
Yeah, like kind of like Reddit misogyny stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't really. It's I've fortunately, well, hopefully they don't hear this and come after me, but I've kind of stayed
oh,
out
they
there
won't.
Like
you're on the right podcast.
You
kinda,
you want to bury any leads, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I've kind of stayed away. I don't put myself out there too much in terms of my true feelings on the subject because mm-hmm. then they just latch onto you and I don't want to have that abuse.
No, who would?
Oh, yeah. this podcast has had a brush with Anonymous.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
A favorable brush.
No, favorable.
Oh, good for you.
We have an episode.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Yeah. We talked to Jamie DeWolf, who's the grandson of L. Ron Hubbard, about going clear the Scientology doc that
uh-huh.
was on HBO.
Which was amazing.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And Anonymous thanked us for doing that and sent us a full transcript of the podcast.
Wow.
And a URL where we could get it in a what are those called? A waste bin or
some file.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some file that they sent to us and they're like, thank you for doing the podcast. Here is a gift from Anonymous. So that was
just
pretty cool.
Just a transcription of your show?
Yeah,
that
was a gift. That's probably the best thing you could expect if someone's like, Anonymous is going to send you something.
Yeah.
Did you scan it?
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, luckily we didn't have to download or anything.
No.
It's just okay. like a text file that's up there.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No, I'm pretty pro internet vigilantism. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say I'm not pro mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
I don't know how many double negatives I can fit into into one sentence. But I think, you know, I think there's some good to be had there for sure.
Yeah. That was, I don't know. It's pretty cool. I started learning about Gamergate, which I wasn't even, mm-hmm. I've kind of heard about it a little bit, but yeah. I wasn't privy to all that stuff. And mm-hmm. it's someone like yourself that's in that world.
Yeah. You know? I've seen a lot of people very affected by it, like mm-hmm. to scary levels, like yeah. getting doxxed, having their address published on yeah. the internet. Like dear friends of mine have had a nonstop harassment in that arena, and it's terrifying. And I, you know, you want to be proactive and you want to say the things that are important to you online, but yet is it worth it? Like, I don't know.
Being like, doxxed just sounds like the most terrifying thing.
Yeah. I don't want that.
No.
And it's out there. Like if you look hard enough, you could figure it out. Right, but right, like, right. I just don't want to bring that onto myself, and it's scary.
Right. And you gave a TED, did you do a TED talk?
I did an XOXO talk.
Oh, an
yeah.
XOXO talk. Yeah. There was a GIF or something
yes.
that someone did and
uh-huh. A GIF.
A GIF. No, you mean
you
a GIF.
Say GIF.
It's
you
a
say GIF.
GIF? Yeah.
Okay.
The correct
Someone's
way.
Trying to correct. Tell me was. Anyway, going back to you.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. I mean, GIF sounds like the peanut butter to me. It sounds yeah. like whenever yeah. someone says. Yeah. But the,
a giraffe.
You gave a. I watched your talk about it though, and it was very compelling. It was really cool to see a female perspective on like how something that minute, which to me, I'm like, it's like this weird little animated GIF mm-hmm. of you, and then it just blew up, and you were like, holy shit, I can't believe this is taking over my life.
Yeah, and it's not even that. It's that it just comes back to bite you constantly.
Right.
Like you can't do anything else in your life, positive or negative, without mm-hmm. it coming back. And so it's just like, and it's true for pretty much everyone online. You know, we have no anonymity. We have no ability at this point to erase the things we've done online from our past. It, yeah. it exists forever.
I think I was hearing, maybe it was a John Ronson thing, talking about that a lot.
Great, yeah.
And then someone else was talking about the way that you fix a reputation now is just to put more information out.
Yeah, you basically
you just try
to bury
the old stuff by just having all the good stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, sites like reputation.com do that for a fee.
Does that work?
Yeah, it does. So you can basically game your own SEO, mm-hmm. Your search engine optimization, by basically creating profiles on high value websites. And then people very rarely will search past the first page of results or even go below the fold, which is an old media term for, you know, below what you see on the immediate screen. Mm-hmm. And so it can actually have a very kind of like valuable mm-hmm. effect for kind of clearing those search results a little bit.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing, you have like a couple podcasts now, right?
Yeah. I've kind of been freelance ever since I left Mahalo. Mm-hmm. So I did a show called Texilla for Discovery Digital Revision 3. I did a show called Core for the PlayStation Network. That was more of a, like a almost full-time job. That was, so that came out on PSN. You could only get it from the PlayStation Network. And we did like, you could download demos and betas and get all sorts of stuff like in the magazine.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really fun. I did that for 4.5 years. And then, so I do Sword and Laser, which is the sci-fi fantasy book club and podcast that I've been doing since 2007. And then I do a monthly romance genre fiction show called Vaginal Fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's fun. That's a video show on Google Hangouts. And
hence then the rom-com.
Yeah. Hence the, masturbating furiously. you can never just masturbate. It has to be furiously. Yeah. I don't know why it's so much funnier when you say it that way, whatever. Yeah. And then I'm a Monday contributor to a show called Daily Tech News Show that my friend Tom Merritt hosts. And he's completely funded on Patreon, which has changed all of our lives immensely.
So you use Patreon?
Yeah, for Sword and Laser and for DTNS. Yeah,
yeah, we're thinking about getting into that.
Yeah,
game.
We're thinking about jumping.
It's great.
Patreon.
Yeah, you should. There's no reason not to, really. Yeah. As long as they stay around.
You can see our gold-plated microphones.
Yes.
We don't need much.
They're so heavy, though.
Yeah, they're very heavy.
Very heavy.
So that's interesting. So what are some of the biggest changes you've seen as far as like,
oh, and Dear Veronica for Engadget, is a weekly, that's a video show, but it's also a podcast. Mm-hmm.
Dear Veronica mm-hmm. is a, and that's, you answer questions from viewers.
Yeah.
I watched a couple of those. What was one?
I get real
it's all
unhinged
tech news.
In some
it's
of them. It's like Dear Abby for technology, social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people send me questions.
Does beer explode in the freezer.
Oh yeah, that was an early one.
Yeah,
Dr. Kiki.
I watched that with Dr. Kiki. Yeah, I watched that one because I was like, yeah, why does it? I always forget. I'm always like, oh, gotta put this beer in the freezer. And then you forget.
Yep.
And then it explodes. And then your ice tastes.
Vodka's good. Okay though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Vodka, gin. You can put all those, all the hard liquors you can put in there.
Mm. Yeah, you want your vodka cold.
Oh yeah.
Whiskey.
No.
No, not so
much. We talked about that as well.
And Dear Veronica.
Yeah. So don't put your whiskey in the freezer.
Busy then.
Yeah, pretty busy. I'm kind of burnt out on being a freelancer though. Like part of me just wants a regular job again, but I don't know what to do because I only have done the same thing for so long. Yeah. I don't feel like I have any applicable skills.
That sounds like like you're a comedian. Yeah. That's basically what we go through.
You get trapped in a cycle.
Golden handcuffs, man. Mm-hmm. Like I enjoy it. And then there's some days where I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever get on my sweats. There's really no reason to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to catch up on Peaky Blinders, I guess.
This is a big deal for me, going to a place to do a podcast. Mm-hmm. Like in my mind, I was like, can I just do it from my house over Skype? Yeah. Like, oh, I know it'll sound better in person, but really.
They're all the way over there.
It's so far.
That's the only rule we have on this show is that we got to do them in person.
We haven't done any Skype ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, thank you for coming. It's very nice of you.
In meat space.
In meat space. Yes.
Yeah. Now you're saying like, so the kind of journalism you were doing at CNET, that affected what you thought about how this got put together. It seemed very sensationalist to you or something.
What?
Or,
the documentary?
Yeah. The Broken Dreams. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt a little bit, I was surprised, especially for Al Jazeera, that it felt that it did feel sensationalist. It felt like a,
but to be fair, it was real boring for the first 5 minutes. So yeah. I'm glad that it went somewhere.
It kind of picked up. Yeah.
I'm glad it picked up. I wanted to see the expose side of it.
But the tone of it definitely felt, I mean, it didn't feel like a balanced piece, in which I guess it wasn't meant to.
Right.
But it's, you know, typically when you're a journalist, you try to show like both sides of the argument. I don't know if there is a good side from Boeing's perspective. Mm-hmm. So maybe that wasn't possible.
We're going to use lithium ions for July 4th fireworks.
Yay.
That's the only positive spin you can take on your battery exploding.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so, and then like, so now you just basically have to trust that the plane you're riding is safe, I guess, at this point.
Yeah. I mean, and with something as volatile as lithium ion batteries, I mean, you just really don't know because they do so many checks on for each portion of an airline's flight throughout the day. I mean, I think the job that the airline mechanics do and that the pilots do, I mean, for the most part, they are on it. Like they know when there's something wrong and they're not afraid to say, we're going to be delayed. We're going to sit on this tarmac until the mechanics get out here and fix this because we're not going to take a risk with your lives.
No.
And so whenever that happens, I'm like, okay, do your job.
Yes.
Like, you know, by all means, fix the airplane.
Yeah.
I ain't
Cincinnati
mad at that.
Will be there. Yeah. It's not going anywhere.
Well, it seems like the argument that this thing is making, it's not saying it in those terms. It's just basically, don't deregulate this and like just keep, the government should be more involved in watching what's happening.
Well, yeah. And I mean, this was something that came up during the airline fiasco, like when all the airlines were basically going under and losing money. And they were like, well, maybe the government should step in and make this a government system. And that didn't happen.
Which is what it was in the 80s before Reagan deregulated
it.
The industry.
Which and then is, things and then, went nuts.
Which is what happens when you do that.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on.
So I need to do more research on that because I don't really know where I fall in that argument, whether I think it should be more regulated. I think, you know, privatization has certainly done some things for technology that are good. But at the same time, we're also, it's a money-oriented
thing.
Safety.
Right. Yeah.
If it's a public safety issue, it should be regulated. Yeah. I think as many eyes on it as possible.
But also just the corporate greed,
got
brought up. That's
they follow
all
the money at the end of the day, right? I mean, like you said, they're now going to be building Air Force One.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like the meat industry was deregulated, and you have like Chipotle's apologizing for having E. coli all over the fucking place. I do like, so do you read fantasy stuff, George?
No, I read some sci-fi when I was younger. I barely read anything other than articles, but then I've been reading some nonfiction. I read a little bit of Octavia Butler. So that definitely is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. That's in the sci-fi wheelhouse.
Yeah. What's your favorite sci-fi book?
My favorite sci-fi book? That's a really hard question.
Book. Like one of the top five.
Yeah, that's hard. we're probably going over, especially if I start getting into these lists.
Have you ever read the Thomas Covenant series?
No. Stephen and you know R. why? Donaldson? Yeah, no, I have not, because I've heard some things that it's just, he's a very unlikable character.
He is.
Yeah. And I think I'm getting kind of that in The Magicians. The show and the books.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Okay.
So the show, the new show on Sci-Fi. So first of all, if you're not watching The Magicians, you should. If you're not watching The Expanse, you definitely should. So The Expanse is based on a book series by James S. A. Corey, which is actually the nom de plume for two authors, Ty Frank and Daniel Abraham, who are fantastic. And so they wrote this book series called The Expanse, and starts the first book in that is Leviathan Wakes. And they're just phenomenal books and great guys, and the show is really great too. And I think it'll be this like periods BSG if you're into that kind of thing.
What is BSG?
Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah. Dig it.
Yeah.
I'm out of that loop, man.
Yeah.
Did you like Black Mass? Did you watch that at all?
Oh no. Do you mean
the movie about Whitey Bulger? Black. Oh, that's Black.
No, Mass.
Black Mass.
But no, you mean Netflix. You mean? No, that's
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror. There we go.
I watched the first episode and I was so traumatized I couldn't keep going.
That's a rough one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard it gets a little better. Like they're not all.
I did
like
the same
that,
thing.
But
I was like, that's
I'm going to give that some time.
No, I was into it though. Not that. Not the act of pig fucking. But you know what I mean. On that note, Veronica, it's been great having you here
on
the show.
Thanks, Veronica.
I feel like we all learned something about air travel today.
I think we did. All right.
Thanks for flying us up, Doc.
Thanks for listening. You can find episodes of SupDoc on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please review, subscribe, and rate.
And you can follow us on Twitter at SupDocPodcast and online at SupDocPodcast.com.
This show is produced by Will Scovel, and our theme music is by David Siegel.
If you want to suggest a documentary or a future guest, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.